There is an ugly truth about being ready. Oftentimes we don't want to hear about it. Many times we don't want it shown. The parable of the 10 virgins finds its roots in Matthew chapter 24. Here in the very beginning, Jesus is leaving the temple. And they're outside of the temple. And this is the last time that Jesus will be there at that temple. And as he leaves, he looks back and he says in Matthew 24 and verse 2, "See not all these things?" He said, "Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples had asked him two questions. When will the temple be destroyed? And when will Jesus come to destroy the world? If you read Matthew chapter 24, and I hope maybe you will this week, Jesus answers these questions one at a time, starting with the destruction of the temple in verses 4 through 34. And then in verses 35 through 51, he goes and talks about his coming. As you read these verses, you will notice that there are signs that they will see about the time that the temple is going to be destroyed. But there will not be any signs leading up to Jesus' return and the end of the world. Now that's contrary to what a lot of the denominations teach. But we're not going to know. We're not going to get one inkling of the end. Now they're going to say that, well, there's wars and rumors of wars, and when these things come to pass, then the end is near. Well, brethren, since the days of Noah, there's been wars and rumors of wars. And it will continue day in and day out, year after year, the very same way. But to develop these points that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, he talks of three parables in Matthew 25. In the first 13 verses, he talks of the parable of the 10 virgins. In verses 14 through 30 in Matthew 25, he talks about the parable of the talents. And in verses 31 through 46, he talks about the parables of the sheep and the goats. You know, weddings in the ancient East and back in those days were almost always at night. The bridegroom, and it's not because he didn't want to see what the bride looked like. Okay. Even though a lot of them were arranged, it wasn't because they were at night. But the bridegroom would go to the house of the bride to escort her. And it would be a very elaborate ceremony, a lot of pomp, a lot of gladness. And they would either go to his home or to another place for the wedding feast. And the 10 virgins would have their lamps burning while waiting for the wedding party at some point along the way to come by. And then they would join in the procession along the way. Now, a lot of times the bridegroom would tarry at the home either of the bride, which would make it late before he went to the place of celebration. But the virgins were to remain alert with their lamps burning no matter what time, no matter how late in the evening, that the bridegroom and the company came by. If the virgins went to sleep, or if they did not have enough oil in their lamps to keep them burning, or if they had gone out for some reason, when the bridegroom came, they would miss out on the festivities. And this would result in their embarrassment and probably the embarrassment of their families. But if you will, let's look at Matthew 25 in the first 13 verses. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, Jesus warns here, for ye know neither the day nor the hour within the Son of Man cometh. Now the virgins in this parable represents the kingdom or the church. The coming of the bridegroom represents the second coming of Christ. The lamp represents faith, and the oil represents the works. Jesus in this parable tells us the urgent need to always be prepared for his second coming. It shows that we have to be prepared because just having our name on the roll is no guarantee of heaven. There are one of two directories that Christians put their stock in. One is the church directory. The other is the Lamb Book of Life. The Bible speaks of those in the church directory, but not of those in the book. Lamb's Book of Life. In the parable of the sower, 2/3 were lost. In the parable of the talents, 1/3 was lost. In the parable of the 10 virgins, half were lost. Now I remind you again that these represent Christians or those within the church. Half were lost. Now, those 5 foolish virgins, they weren't evil. They weren't mean. They were not unconcerned. They weren't lost because of those things. They were lost because they were unprepared. And they lacked foresight. It's not just those who are in the church who will be saved, but those who are prepared and in the church. When I say this is the ugly truth, this is the ugly truth. Parable shows that we must be prepared because there's not a single one that can do it for us. In this parable, for example, the 5 foolish virgins sought oil or good works. They sought them from the 5 wise virgins. What this proves is that character and obedience are not transferable. If my mother being dead and in the grave and not saved, I cannot be baptized for her and save her. I can't. I can't make the decision for someone to obey the gospel. That has to be done on their own. The 5 foolish virgins needed to bring their own oil. Paul in Romans 14 verse 12, he says, So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm not going to be standing at the judgment seat, and when God asks me to give an account, I'm not going to turn to Vicki and say, can you tell him? Because that won't happen. That won't happen. Plus, I'm not going to let Vicki get that opportunity. We have to be prepared outwardly by having our lamps. Obedience is an outward form of preparation. Paul in Romans 6 in verses 17 and 18, he wrote here, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. You know, in all this, in this whole verse, it's you, you, you. It's not us, us, us. It's you. It's me. We can look at a lot of different examples of the obedience. Being here at worship services. Being out there and helping one another, showing loving kindness to one another is obedience. Being the same person outside the church as inside the church building. We have to be prepared inwardly by having those oil in our lamps. To have faith without obedience is like having a lamp with no oil. We can talk about and say about things the Bible says. The Bible tells us this, the Bible tells us that. We hear it all the time. But if we're not doing what the Bible tells us, all we're doing is just mimicking words, just repeating things. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 and verses 5 through 7, "And besides this, giving all diligence." I love this, these verses, because this is Christian growth. "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," or love. That is the growth of a Christian. And each one of those, by faith and obedience, we attain those things. And when we attain those things, we receive and have the fruit of the Spirit that Paul writes of in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. "For if these things be in you," Peter writes, "and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." A recent survey not too long ago, I think within the last 3 years, of those people who believe in organized religion has dropped drastically. The denominational world has been hit extremely hard, but so has the Lord's church. Many Christians are allowing their lamps to go out. I don't know, maybe they're frustrated. Maybe they don't feel like they belong. Maybe the outside world has a stronger influence than those within the Lord's church. There's many that do very little for the Lord. There are many, many, many who do not faithfully attend services. Too many give very little of themselves or their time or their money to the Lord. This isn't an offering thing. This is an obedience thing. This is an oil thing. In the day of judgment, there will be absolutely no excuses. Who could the five foolish virgins blame? "Well, the store's not open 24 hours. I can't buy no oil now. And it's too far to the 7-Eleven. The dollar store closes at 9. Or those wise virgins are selfish, Lord. They wouldn't give us any of their oil." You know that phrase, jumping on the bandwagon? Ones that want to be a participant in the band but not play, so they jump on the bandwagon so they can be up there where all the music's being made. We find a lot like that. They get caught in the draft. like me driving down Interstate 29 from Grand Forks to Fargo, I would get behind a semi and I would get as close to the rear end of that semi as I could and draft behind him. My gas mileage would jump up because it took me less energy to get down the road. He was blocking all that wind facing me, and his wind coming off the back of the truck was pushing me. Now, if he ever slammed on his brakes, I'd have been in trouble, but I got an extra 3-4 miles to the gallon. See, that's what a lot of people try to do. They try to catch someone else's draft. We try to take credit for the work of others. But there's a fact that you can take to the bank. When it comes time for the day of judgment, there will be no passing of the buck. You're going to have to ask so-and-so about that, because it's not my fault. This parable shows us that we must be prepared because of the second coming of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, here Jesus is spending his last physical moments on earth with his disciples. Starting in verse 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Have you ever been around a class clown and they're standing around and doing this? And before you know it, everybody else is doing this. And you don't know what they're looking at. He's coming. He's coming. And if you have faith, if you believe, it's going to happen. We may pass from this earth before that happens. But Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 7 through 9, he said, "To you that are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Do you know what the second coming is going to do? What it is going to reveal? It is going to reveal our character. We're not going to be able to hide it. In the parable of the 10 virgins, they all appeared to be alike. You wouldn't have been able to tell the foolish five from the wise five until the bridegroom came. That's when they stood out. Today, you look around, you can't tell one Christian from another Christian by the outside. But when Jesus comes back again, the character is going to be revealed. It can't be hidden. In the church, we can all appear and may all appear to be alike. But we'll soon know. In Romans 2 and verse 16, Paul says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." To every Christian, true Christian that obeys, that should be a very scary verse. But he also wrote in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make known the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God." one of my favorite thoughts in my mind, because I can be a great procrastinator, is that I have time. I have plenty of time. And I used to say that when I would have deadlines to be made when I was in the military, and I would keep saying, I got plenty of time, and that's the day before the deadline, and I'm scrambling. I always made my deadlines, but I was the great procrastinator. I used to always say that my greatest work comes when I'm panicked and freaking out about not getting it done in time. But when that day comes, when Jesus comes, there's not going to be time to buy oil. And we will not be allowed into the celebration. We can't rely on a false hope that just because we have the title Christian and we're on the church rolls, that we've got a space ready for us regardless of what we do in this life. You know, I'm sure that it was a lot of trouble for these virgins to dress for the wedding feast, to be ready 24/7, to have their lamps lit, to have the oil, extra oil for the lamps. But can you imagine when they were told and they were at the door and knocking that they weren't known? But the ones that had the oil, the ones that were ready, can you imagine that the celebration was worth every bit of all the extra work and being ready? It's the same matter. It takes a lot of time and effort to serve the Lord. And yes, we come home from work and we're dead tired. We've got a full schedule. And there's still things that have to be done. But when He comes, and He will, the celebration of joy in heaven will be worth every bit of the effort we put into it. It truly is an ugly truth about being ready. It's not about biding time. It's about being alert, having our ear tuned to the call, and being open to the opportunities that are before us. If you're not a Christian tonight, if you haven't obeyed the gospel in the way that the Bible teaches, why do you wait? Why do you tarry so long? We want to give you that opportunity tonight to make that change. We want to light your lamp, have your lamp lit in faith and obedience. And we want you, by your works, to have plenty of oil for that lamp. Maybe you are a Christian tonight. Maybe you've run out of oil. Maybe your lamp has gone out because your faith has dimmed, because of maybe the circumstances that you're facing, or maybe there's something that has happened that caused that faith to dim, or maybe gone out altogether. Oh, you can relight your lamp. You can get more oil, but you need to do it today. If anyone has a need this evening, we want to give you that opportunity. As together we stand and we sing.